because this Friday we will be baptizing a few candidates. I think on the list we have about 11 now. So if you feel like you want to be baptized and you didn't register, please to be baptized. The reason why we said we need to be baptized again is when we were baptized in our religious, you know, settings, that was not the actual baptism. Baptism, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse in something, you submerge something and completely, it completely disappears. So on Friday, I will have the honor to immerse people who will be baptized, and you are baptized into something. Amen. And we said that baptism, for example, infants cannot be baptized because baptism, there is a sequence. There is a sequence. Baptism follows a belief. Somebody first believes in Jesus Christ, and he confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And we discussed and agreed that infants cannot do that. That young lady there can't do that. She cannot, you know, she can't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and she couldn't even confess that he is Lord. So that's why baptism is necessary after you have been born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Today we'll be talking about the blessings of baptism. The blessings of baptism. I'm going to give you a lot of information, so I would rather you do not, you just write the verses and you listen, and just maybe get to listen to the recording, because it will be put on the website. Because on the website now we have many messages that we have been uploading. Just familiarize yourself with the website, the church website. During the week on your phone you can listen to those messages as well. Just go to www.shilotabernacle.org and go to media, and you'll find messages there. So just listen, because we have a few minutes and I want us to get as much as we can. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to need better amens. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when you say amens there, you encourage me here as well. Hallelujah. You know, when you are here, you're like an athlete. You're like an athlete, and you need people to encourage you. Of course, the Holy Spirit is encouraging you, but also the people matter. Amen. Yes, I was once a teacher, and I know what that entails. So, baptism. Baptism, we saw that the first time baptism, the word baptism is mentioned in the Bible is during the baptism of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. John the Baptist preached baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what he came. What was his message? Repent. Why? Because of the kingdom of God is what? Is at hand. Hallelujah. His baptism symbolized moral purification and so prepared the people for the coming of the kingdom. We see that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. We see that in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. Hallelujah. Amen. What was his teaching? His teaching was futuristic. It was in the future. It was telling them, be baptized now. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. His preaching was pointing towards something. He was pointing towards the future. Towards the coming of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But when Jesus came on the scene, he changed that. So it disappeared. After his baptism, it disappeared. Baptism disappeared for a while. Jesus was baptized by John, and the Bible says that baptism continued for a short while, but after some time, we don't see it mentioned again. Why? He allowed his disciples to do it, continue, as we see in John chapter 3, verse 22, and we also see in John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, that baptism was continuing. The Bible says that he continued to baptize, and in John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says that the Pharisees recognized that Jesus and his disciples were baptizing more people than John did. But it puts a caveat there and say, although Jesus did not what? Did not baptize himself. Jesus himself did not baptize. It's his disciples that he baptized. Hallelujah. Why was that? John was forward-looking, like I said earlier. But Jesus Christ put it on hold because he had come. After he was baptized, he was there. So he put it on hold until he had attained something. until he had achieved something. By the way, he taught, he continued to teach in John chapter 3, verse 1, as he meets, verse 1 to 5, as he meets Nicodemus. After he meets Nicodemus, Nicodemus asks him, how can I be born again? You remember that conversation? Yeah? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you are, verse 5, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The water, that's water, is baptism. And the Spirit, you remember John said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me baptizes with, will baptize you in, with fire. That is baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. We sing that song. Born of the water, Spirit and the blood, and God I'm born again. Hey, born of the water, Spirit and the blood, thank God I'm born again. Aha. You catch it, yeah? Yeah. I'm born again. Thank God I'm born again. Unless you are born of the water and the Spirit. So Jesus Christ reinstitutes baptism in the Great Commission. When he says, what does he say in the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19, please. Matthew 28:19. Let's have that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you who are coming in, we are talking about the blessings of baptism. I know some of you are candidates for baptism. The blessing of baptism. It says, go therefore. After Jesus Christ had been baptized, as I said, the baptism disappears. But now we see it. We see him reinstating it at the end of his mission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he says, go therefore and what? And make disciples of all nations, of Banyankore, of Baganda, of Rwandese, of Dominican Republic, of Jamaicans, of every color and creed. Well, then after making that, baptizing them where? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, he reinstitutes baptism at this moment. Why? Because he is now the real deal. The kingdom is now here. He is now the kingdom. Hallelujah. Baptism is no longer a forward-looking experience, but it has become a realized activity centering on the gospel of the message, centered on the risen Christ. Hallelujah. So he reinstates it. So blessing number one, as we rush because of time. Blessing number one. Open Mark chapter 1. We read from verse 9 to 11. Blessing number one. When you are baptized, you receive affirmation and anointing. You receive affirmation and anointing. You receive affirmation and anointing. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, my daughter, if you can get it. Hallelujah. Now we are going to Jesus' baptism in this portion of scripture. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by who? Okay, let's read. In those days, Jesus and was baptized by John in the Jordan. On Friday, we don't have the Jordan, but we will recreate it. And when he came out, he was baptized. In other words, he was what? He was immersed in water, not in a basin of water. You can't immerse an adult in a basin of water. Jesus Christ at this moment is 30 years old. Hallelujah. He is 30 years old, immersed in water. And the Bible says, what happened? And when he came out, of course, guys, do not be scared. I will not be leaving you in the water on Friday. Trust me, you will be getting out. Amen. And when he came out of the water, immediately, he saw the what? The heavens being torn open. Something spectacular happened. When you get into the water, the heavens may not physically be torn, but there's something that happens in the heavenlies. There's something happening in the spiritual, something happens in the spiritual world. The heavens was torn, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The Spirit of the Lord descended on him. He was anointed. Jesus, up until this time, he was just a simple Jesus, Son of Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Although he was God, but on this occasion, God anointed him with extra power. And that's when the Christ, the anointing, came upon him. He became Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He was anointed. He became anointed, anointed, anointed for service. You see, the Holy Spirit does not come on us just to make us jump and just shake and just roll on the carpets. The Holy Spirit comes upon us for a purpose. It comes upon us so that we may function, so that we may minister, so that we may serve Him. The Holy Spirit will come upon you on Friday like never before, like never before, like never before. He received anointing. From that day, He did not go back to His home. The Bible says, straight away, where did He go? He was led by the Holy Spirit, not by the devil, into the wilderness to be tempted. He started serving. Some of you have been serving, yes, but you are going to serve like never before. You will receive the mandate to serve like never before. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. There was a voice of affirmation. A voice. God put a stamp on him and says, all the other people this man has been baptizing are mere men, but this one is my son. He is my son. The heavenly voice alludes to Psalm 2 verse 7, which says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Psalm 2 verse 7. So as you go into the water, something special will happen in the physical. The Holy Spirit will come upon you like never before. Most people who don't speak in tongues, when they come out of the water, they come out bubbling in tongues. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And there's an affirmation. Baptism is an affirmation. God affirms you as His son and his daughter. Hallelujah. Yes, you get a unique position of sonship and daughtership. Hallelujah. What happened to Jesus will happen to you. Blessing number two. Separation from the law unto union with Christ. When we are baptized, we are separated from the law and we are united with Christ. And we are going to read Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, let's read from verse 26. For you are all sons of God through what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were done what? Baptized into what? Into Christ. You are submerged into Christ. You are baptized into Christ. You baptize somebody into something, into an ideology, into a philosophy, into a teaching. So when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, into that anointing, into Christ, and have put on Christ. We have done what? We have put on Christ. Baptism is Christological in nature and at heart. Why? It signifies union with Christ. We are immersed in Him. And when we are immersed in Him, listen what happens. We put off the law and we put on Christ. That's what He says. He says, you put on Christ. You put on Christ. You put on Christ. So it's like when you get into the pool, you have been putting on another cloth. Just picture that. So when you get out of the pool, out of the water, you have got another garment upon you. You have that Christ. Not Jesus, but you have Christ. Notice it does not say Jesus. You have been baptized into that anointing. Hallelujah. You get that? There's a peculiar anointing into which you're baptized. You put on Jesus. You put on the anointing. A new, fresh garment. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessing number three. All of us get the same status in Christ. You get the same status in Christ and you become heirs of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Continuing that verse, my daughter, that's, we're going to go into verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. After we have been baptized into Christ, there are no distinctions of man. You are white. I am black. That's the, I just, when a Christian is saved and he remains a racist in his head, I just don't understand who he is. We have got this problem in Rwanda where we had, you know, Tutsis and Hutus, you know. You from your countries, you know, wherever you originate, you have got those things. Oh, I am a Kikuyu. Oh, the other one is a Karamojong. In Christ, we are those segregations disappear. They must disappear. If you enter into the water and you are baptized into Christ, we are all one. We are all, our status is the same. Listen, he says, there is no male or female. That's why I wonder at some ministries which cannot allow a woman to stand here. Women are put aside. Who told you? Women, you are awesome. You are valuable. Hallelujah. You are daughters of the Most High God. Never let anybody put you down because you are a woman. In this church, we honor women. We serve with women. Why? Because in Christ, once we are baptized in Christ, there's no male, there's no female. For you are all one in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not overlook somebody because he does not come from your country. No. If you still have that mentality, you need to come on Friday and I baptize you. Into Christ. Because all of us are one in Christ. Now he takes it even further. The next verse, my daughter. This gets even sweeter. I mean that the heir, and if you are Christ's, you know that Christ. In other words, now when you get baptized, you no longer belong to them. I am no longer a slave. I am a child of God. You are Christ. Then you are Abraham's offspring. Hallelujah. Do you see what Christ Jesus is doing here right now? In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, the blessings of Abraham were only for the children of Israel. But during the baptism, and when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we the Gentiles are grafted into the blessing of Abraham. And he says, and you are heirs of, you are Abraham's offsprings. Heirs according to which promise? The promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4. That's why whenever we pray every Sunday, I will always pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob upon me, because they were given by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessing number 4. You become one spirit and one body. At the same baptism. At the same time, baptism is related to the Spirit. Yeah. Romans chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So when baptism signifies a death, once you go into the water, it's like the old person goes into the water, you are just like Jesus Christ was put into that grave. Signifies a grave. So the moment you come out of that water, a new you comes out. You are resurrected into him. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, we were buried with him through Christ, through baptism unto death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. In newness of life. When you come out of the water, my friend, you are no longer you, the old you. You are a new person. You are a new woman. You are a new man. Hallelujah. Newness of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. So once you are baptized in Christ, we are baptized in one spirit. And you are baptized into one body. In other words, you are welcomed, officially welcomed into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why he says, Jews or Greeks or slaves or free are all made to drink of one spirit. Again, we go back to these, you know, human segregations. They do not count in the eyes of God. We are all his children. Hallelujah. Black, yellow, green, whatever. We are tall, short, fat, thin. We are all his children. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five, as we finish. We enter into a covenant relationship when you enter into baptism. Of course, there's a link between baptism in the Old Testament with the Old, in the New Testament with Old Testament covenants. One major connection is with the Abrahamic covenant, which especially was consummated by or instituted by circumcision. Hallelujah. It was instituted by circumcision. Now, Paul borrows that. Paul borrows that. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, he combines Jewish circumcision with Christian baptism as he pictures the redemptive work of Christ. Hallelujah. What does he say in Colossians chapter 2, 11? Let's read that and we'll be done. He's borrowing this from the Old Testament, where in the Old Testament we've got, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 16, God tells the children of Israel to do what? Circumcise their foreskin, the foreskins of their heart. It's no longer physical circumcision. It becomes circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. That you no longer, that you be no longer stubborn. Deuteronomy 36, he says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 2, 28, 29 says, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. Nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. Philippians 3:3 says, look out for dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, in other words, those who circumcise. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and the glory in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. In that scripture, as Paul continues, that's when he begins to say, if you were to boast in the flesh, I am the top one, because I was circumcised on the eighth day of my life. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. But he continues and says, all this I have counted as rubbish. Why? Because Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, he says, in him also you were circumcised. In who? In Christ. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Phew! By putting off the body of flesh. By the circumcision of Christ. These are serious words. I don't have time to dwell in this. I don't have time to unpack all this, but just get the gist. But let's continue. Having been what? Buried with him in. That is circumcision. In which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. There is something that you cannot understand. I cannot articulate right here that happens on baptism. There's something that happens. A circumcision. Circumcision was a mark. God would mark and say, they are my children. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you are baptized, God... Lastly, but not least, you are united not only with Christ, but you are united with the Father and the Son. You are united with the Trinity, my friend. In the institution of the words of baptism on Friday, we will be saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My God, you carry Trinity. You will get out of the water carrying the Trinity, walking with the Trinity. My God, covenant relationship with the Trinity. You will not small. You are not. You will not be a small man. You will be a powerhouse, walking with God. Hallelujah. The Trinity, the blessings of baptism, ladies and gentlemen. Friday is not going to be a Friday like any other for you who is going to be baptized. Stand on your feet and let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. I invite the choir to come.